This is The Science of Deliberate Creation. And this tape, entitled Dollars, is the fourth tape of a 10-tape album. And this album, Special Subjects Volume 2, was recorded by Abraham in 1991. Recorded and printed Abraham Hicks materials are copyrighted by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and the unauthorized duplication of this cassette is strictly prohibited. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are attracting this information, and your purchase of this tape fulfills that intention. Plus, you also help us to afford the means to connect with other seekers, and Esther and I are most appreciative of your role in this joyous growth experience. For additional tapes, books, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Science of Deliberate Creation workshop, please call 755-2299, area code 830, or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690070, San Antonio, Texas. And the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abraham-hicks.com. That's www.abraham-hicks.com.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Abraham.
We are pleased to co-create with you upon this rather important topic of dollars and abundance. The subject of dollars, for those of you who are focused here in your physical experience and in your specific culture or society, is synonymous with the subject of freedom in many cases. We are happy to unravel some of the confusion about this topic, and we are, as you are, aware of the extreme importance that it plays in the lives of so many. As we are working with our physical friends in this time and place, we are hearing from many of them dissatisfaction about their current place of standing relative to this subject of dollars. It seems that almost all are in a place of having fewer dollars than they are wanting, and therefore are in a place of experiencing less freedom than they really are wanting. And so it is our intent, as we are offering the words here, to help those who are wanting a clearer, more open avenue for the flowing of dollars into their experience to discover it. For it really is not a difficult thing. Everyone is living exactly the balance of thought that they are offering. And so it is really this simple. If there are fewer dollars in your experience than you are wanting, or in clearer terms, we would say, if you are experiencing more the lack of dollars than you are the abundance of dollars, then that is a signal to you that the balance of your thought regarding the subject of dollars is slanted toward the lack more than toward the having. We'll begin by saying that every subject is really not just one subject, but two. Someone said to us recently regarding the topic of dollars, Abraham, there must be something that you are leaving out of this recipe, because you say that I can have anything that I am wanting, and that if I will just focus upon what I want, then it will be mine. And I have wanted dollars for as long as I can remember, and they keep not coming to me. And we say, friend, it is not one subject, but two. There is the subject of dollars and the subject of lack of dollars. And what you have been offering your thought toward is the subject of the lack of dollars. When you move through your day, what is the balance of thought that you are offering? What is the most common thought that you offer regarding this subject of dollars? How often do you say, oh, that is a very beautiful thing, but I cannot afford it? Or, oh, I would very much like to do that, or be there, or have that, but I cannot afford it. What is the offering of thought in your experience regarding the subject of dollars? There are two ways for you to acknowledge that. One is, pay attention to what you're thinking and speaking and to the way that you're feeling about it. If you are feeling negative emotion as you think or speak or act, then you are upon the negative side or the lack side of something you want. And the other way of knowing what the balance of your thought is regarding the subject of dollars is by looking at your life experience. If you have all of the dollars that you're wanting, then the balance of your thought regarding dollars is in harmony with that. And if you have not enough dollars, if you are feeling lack about dollars, then the balance of your thought is upon that side of the equation.
Well, my experience, one of my experiences on this subject is, I had a motel down near El Paso, Texas a while back, and H.L. Hunt, who at that time was considered the fifth wealthiest man in the United States, one of the multi-billionaires, called me because he had heard that I had some information on Ojo Caliente, a small resort, Indian Hot Springs on the Rio Grande River that he had purchased, and he was trying to convert it into something that made money, which it wasn't doing at the time. And I recall as he came to me, and he's sitting in my little coffee shop, and we're visiting, and my mind was racing. I couldn't imagine why a man so wealthy would still be after more dollars. I mean, I couldn't understand why he wouldn't just sell the place at whatever and go on about his life. I have another friend of mine who's in the billionaire class. We were in Rio de Janeiro a while back in Brazil, and we were going on the beach, and he talked about he had some trouble, so on and so forth. And it really struck me that a man that wealthy, so wealthy, would have any kind of troubles. But what I'm learning, and what I've learned a lot from you, that the goal in success, the goal in life, is not having things, right?
What all of the things, all of the having, all of the doing is about is to enhance your state of being. As you identify that state of being is the goal, in other words, it is the state of joy that is the true trophy. It is the state of joy that is the acknowledgement of your harmony with who you really are. Then, very often, the other trappings do not seem so important. Now, we are not wanting to distort your physical experience here. In other words, we are not implying that the having or the doing is not a key and an essential part to the physical experience.
Correct.
You are here in a physical dimension intending to chew upon the data of this time and place. And because of the very nature of your physicalness, having and doing is an integral part of all of that. And it is all here for the enhancement of your state of being. But if you are going about in a backwards fashion, in other words, if you are evaluating first what to do and what to have, then very often you gather activity and things into your experience that do not enhance your state of being. Where if you will begin by identifying how it is you want to feel or be, and then let your inspiration to accumulate or to have or to do come from that centered place of beingness, then you do not get so far out of balance. We have noted that most of you do most of your wanting from a place of lack. You want things, in many cases, simply because you don't have them. And so the having of them doesn't really satisfy anything deep within you, because there is always something else that you don't have. And so it becomes a never-ending struggle to try to bring one more thing that still won't be satisfying, into your experience. Esther had a dream not long ago that is very clarifying upon this mm-hmm. topic. She was walking down a street, a rather drab, unimpressive looking street, when she saw that there was a door open with a sign that said for sale. And as Esther is always willing to look for whatever, at whatever is for sale, she talked you, her mate, into going inside to look with her. And as she walked, as you, the two of you, walked into this magnificent room, she was delighted as she looked upward and saw very high, curved, painted, gilded ceilings, and very beautiful archways that were carved and painted, and floors that were inlaid with wood and stone and gems. The magnificence of it was beyond description, and Esther stood there amazed at this beautiful sight and said to you, "I want this." And you agreed, and so you purchased it. And now Esther moves very fast forward in her dream, and now you are gathering your things from all of the places here and there, taking them all to this house, when suddenly Esther realized, but wait, this house is not in the city where I want to live. Further, it is in a city where I don't want to live. In fact, she noticed, everything about the purchase of this house is wrong, except that the house is beautiful. Now, what that dream represents is the way most of you go about your wanting and your creating from lack. In other words, Esther remembered noticing how mundane and drab the street was on, that she was on. In other words, it was not beautiful, and she was even feeling critical about it. And from that place of lack, she was inspired into the room where she was bowled over by the beauty. In other words, the magnificent, the opulence, the value that she believed that would be hers as others observed the beauty of that which she had gathered. And so not from her position of clearly identifying how she wanted to feel, but from her place of lack, she made the decision that she wanted that. And while it did satisfy the void, in other words, the feeling of not enough beauty in her experience was satisfied by this beautiful place, almost everything else about it was out of harmony. Our point is that so many of you, so much of the time, take action in terms of having, or even in terms of wanting, in order to soothe some lack or some void. Because I don't have this, I want it. And you really think that by getting it, that it will soothe the void. And it is our absolute knowing that that defies law, because any action that is taken from a place of lack is always counterproductive and always leads to more feeling of void. And that is why so many keep wanting and keep being unsatisfied and keep wanting and keep being unsatisfied. And so certainly the answer is not to try to accumulate everything in order to fill the void, but to find your centered place of beingness first, and then you will be inspired to action, not from a place of void, but from a place of joyous beingness, you see. Certainly, you will gather many magnificent things into your experience. Our message is not to stop wanting, or not to stop having, or not to stop doing. Our message is to do your having, your accumulating, your wanting, your doing from your place of feeling good, you see.
Well, there's the saying that money doesn't make for happiness. But on the other hand, I've noted that poverty doesn't make for happiness either. So it's not, money isn't, obviously isn't the answer. How does a person, and then, well, I guess what we've learned from you as far as setting goals are concerned, is as long as what it is that we're wanting is pleasing us, as long in the field, the thought of it is wanting, that the thought of wanting it is bringing us pleasure, then it is would be an appropriate goal for us.
Correct.
Okay. So how does a person then set a goal out, something that they want, or have something they want that takes time or energy to reach, and then go through, here's what I see, there's that, and then there's kind of the uphill climb to get to that, and then there's a short plateau that they kind of rest, and then a person sets another goal, but then there's another almost tedious climb to the next goal. How does a person keep all the climbing joyous so that it's not struggle, 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 wow, I've made it, and then struggle, 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 oh, here I am again?
Oh, that sort of wow, I've made it is very mundane by comparison with what could happen, because struggle, struggle, struggle never leads to a happy ending, not by the standards of happiness that you know from your inner perspective. But what you are talking about in terms of feeling the climb toward an ending place and then that little plateau of satisfaction and then another climb to another ending place comes because you are so ending place oriented. Most of you are looking towards some ending place and you say, when I get there, then I will be happy, rather than enjoying the delicious unfolding or the delicious becoming. You see, you are here as creators, not as accumulators and not as regurgitators. You are here as creators. And so as you are looking at an ending place, the tendency in looking at the ending place is to exaggerate the feeling of lack between where you are now and that ending place. And that slows down your creation more than any other thing. if instead of looking toward the ending place, you could understand that law of attraction is just what we are, what it is well named. You are the attractor of your experience. And so as you are focused upon the value of what is, mm-hmm. that point of attraction is becoming more. There is no law of assertion. You cannot identify something you want and go and get it. Instead, you identify something that you want, you change your vibration so that you can attract it into your experience, you see. The sculptor of the magnificent work of art does not derive his greatest satisfaction from the finished product. It is the sculpting. It is the joyous becoming that is delicious to him. And that is the way we would like you to see your physical experience of creating. It is the eternal, joyful becoming that we are all about, you see. And so, as you put your emphasis upon the state of being, and you focus upon the things that are in your life right now that are satisfying mm-hmm. to you, then from that satisfied, joyful, centered place, you then are in a position, and only then are in a position, to attract more of what you are wanting. We have been offering a process to those who say, Abraham, I want more money in my experience. And we say, what is the balance of your thought regarding money? And very often they will say, well, I have a very positive attitude about it. And we will say, well, when you sit to pay your bills, how do you feel? And very often that is when they realize that they are still feeling very much struggle and very much frustration about money. And so once we are able to help them understand that the balance of their thought regarding dollars has been more on the lack side of the subject than upon the abundant side of the subject, then we say, put $100 in your pocket. And notice in every day how many things you could exchange this $100 for. How many things you could have or do in exchange for these dollars. Some have teased us and said, Abraham, you haven't been physical recently because $100 will not go far. But we say, what you are wanting to do is to alter your feeling about money. You are wanting to change the balance of thought within you which will alter your feeling about money. You have been feeling not prosperous. And in your feeling of not being prosperous, you are attracting more of the lack of prosperity. And so this $100, if you will utilize it effectively, will cause you to deliberately change your balance of thought regarding the subject of dollars. Instead of moving through your day noticing how expensive everything is, which adds to the lack side, you will move through your day saying, I can have that, I can have that, I can have that. And if you won 1,000 times today, notice how many things that you could have with that $100. You have emotionally spent the equivalent of $100,000. And that will go a long way toward tipping the balance of prosperity within you, you see. It is a very good process and extremely effective. Someone said to us, Abraham, I don't have the $100, but I put an IOU in my pocket. And we said, that is defeating the process because you are walking around with another debt in your pocket, mm-hmm. which is exactly the opposite of what you are wanting to do. You are wanting to feel your prosperity. And so even if it is only $1 or $10 or $20 or $50, or if it is $1,000 or $10,000 that you have in your pocket, utilize it effectively to help you notice how good things are now. Because it is in your acknowledgement of your blissful now that it becomes more, you see?
Abraham, my experience when I, in my business, as I worked with people, my intention was to help the people that needed money the most. And I could set them up in business and I could help them succeed, and I knew that I could. But it turned out that the ones who needed it the most had the least success with it. And the ones who needed the business and needed the dollars the least had the most success with it.
The reason for that is because anyone who is in place of lack, no matter how much action they offer, attracts more lack. In mm-hmm. other words, the powerful feeling outweighing any action that they offer. Any action that's taken from a place of lack is always counterproductive. While those who were not needing were not in a place of lack, and so their action was offered not from a place of lack, and their action was productive. Your experience is in absolute harmony with the laws of the universe, as is every experience.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a shred of evidence anywhere in the universe that is to the contrary of this that we are speaking.
Mm-hmm. Also, what I noticed were, by and large, those who didn't have much success or weren't really interested much in hearing about succeeding were people who had been taught that wanting money was evil, that wanting money was immoral, and that the thing to do was just kind of stay where they were.
That is a very broad topic.
I know
for
it is.
There are not two beings who really feel exactly the same way about anything.
That's true.
The reason that many reach a place where they say that they do not want is because they have wanted, and they have wanted, and they have wanted, but they have not understood that every subject is two subjects, and so they have given more of their attention to the lack of what they want than to what they want, and so they keep attracting the lack until eventually they are just worn down by it. They begin to associate wanting with not having, so much so that to want is an unpleasant experience. And so then they say, I no longer want, because every time I want something, I get myself in this place of discomfort. And so it is easier not to want in the first place.
And so a person who an outsider might look at and say is in a state of poverty, if they don't feel they're in a state of poverty, they're not in a state of lack, are they? So in other words, they could move forward fast in life if they're not feeling that sense of
that
lack.
That is very correct. The issue of money being right or wrong, or
right,
moral or immoral, is a more complicated issue to unravel. Most physical beings are so predominantly feeling their own lack of worthiness that they do not understand that they have a guidance system within them. And so most are looking outside of themselves for some form of guidance. And that leads to a myriad of ways that they interact with others. There are those who seek to control them. There are those who are also confused and in their confusion try to lead them. In other words, we could speak for hundreds of hours upon why man is confused in his guidance upon many topics. It is very difficult for most of you to hear us when we say nothing is more important than that you feel good. For when you feel good, you're in harmony with your greater intent. And so, because most of you are not ready to hear it, and because most of you have come from a place of lack for such a very long time, you more easily accept the influence that says you must work hard, you must struggle, you must strive in order to receive your reward. So many of you have been convinced that you are here to prove yourselves worthy of something. And so from that place of lack, you set out to prove yourselves worthy. And you do not prove yourselves worthy from place of lack. The reality of it is you are already worthy. The reality of it is you have come forth into this experience to thrive and prosper and live this delicious physical experience. But we cannot convince you with our words alone. And it is really not our wanting or our role to convince any of you of anything.
Right.
What we are wanting to do is to assist you individually, if you are wanting, to reconnect consciously with your own inner guidance system. And if you will make statements such as, I want to be the best that I can be. I want to do and have and live in a way that is in harmony with my idea of the greatest goodness. I want to harmonize physically here in this body with that which I believe to be the best or the good way of life. If you will make those statements, and then you will not take action unless you feel good, you will always be moving upon the path and in harmony with your idea of that which is good. The belief in lack is so powerful. And that is what is behind this confusion that you are speaking about. In other words, when you believe that there isn't enough to go around, then you believe those who are achieving are squandering or hoarding and keeping from the rest. When you believe in a universe of lack, then you are guarded and defensive. And then you point fingers of blame to those who are achieving and accomplishing and those who are accumulating. And what we are wanting you to understand is that what anyone else has or does not have has nothing to do with you. The only thing that affects your experience is the way you utilize the non-physical energy with your thought. Your abundance or lack of it in your experience has nothing to do with what anybody else is doing or having. It has only to do with your perspective. It has only to do with your offering of thought. We have noticed that there are many who speak out with great criticism toward those who accumulate. And their speaking is, for the most part, only a representation of their own feeling of lack and worthlessness. They really think that they would feel better about their own lack if the others did not have so much. In other words, if they could diminish the value of having, then their lack would not bother them so much, you see. But it is our knowing that then there will just be something else for them to feel lack about, and something else, and something else, and something else. Then money will not be the issue, but length of life will be the issue, or any number of subjects.
When I was a kid, I associated with poor people primarily, and we used to make fun of those who were wealthy and criticize them and so on, and those who drove Cadillacs, for instance. And so as an adult, when it came time that I would like to have had a Cadillac car to drive one, I couldn't bring myself to it because I felt that people would make fun of me as I had made fun. So I drove Mercedes because years ago people kind of thought they were economy cars. So the only way I could bring myself to drive a Cadillac, which I finally did, was I had to bridge my thoughts by saying, well, by buying this car, I put all those people to work that put this car together. You know, all the people that supplied the parts and the materials, the leather and the metal and the glass and the craftsmen and so on and so forth. In that justification, then I was able to buy the car and thinking, well, I'm putting people to work. But you have a way of teaching us to get our minds in that a state that we can accept and allow everything into our system, so without having to do that that processing of bridging or bridging that I had to use through the years to move forward.
Your process of bridging is an effective process, but at the heart of it is something that concerns us a bit, and that is, as you are worrying about what others think about what you are doing, you are always going to be in a negative place, because there is always going to be someone somewhere who does not approve of what you are doing. And if you allow yourself to be buffeted around, even by mainstream thought, you will find yourself in a quandary much of the time as to what is your appropriate action. There will always be someone, no matter which side you choose, that does not harmonize. And that is why we speak so firmly and want so much for you to understand that if you would come to know that your greatest endeavor is to find harmony with who you really are, and if you would trust in yourselves, in other words, if you could believe that through all that you have lived, you have come to a place of very strong knowing, and that you can trust the way you feel as your form of guidance about the appropriateness or inappropriateness of what you are contemplating doing, then you could utilize your guidance system in the way that it was really intended.
Abraham, in the past, money was primarily coins, metal, that had a value in themselves, like a $20 gold piece, so to speak, was worth, the gold itself was worth $20, and the silver dollar was worth, the silver was worth money. And we've come beyond that now to where our money itself has no value. I mean, it's essentially valueless. And so as a result, from what I used to think of in terms of we trade our talent for dollars, it was a convenient way of being able to deal with a wide variety of talents and continue to flow with one another. It was just a convenience. Now dollars are a different sort of thing, and so...
How so?
Well, the dollar itself is... The value of it is changed by somebody in another area.
In other words, it doesn't hold... That, but it does not affect your personal experience.
Right, that's what I wanted to talk about. And so... I've watched, and I've been there too, of where I always thought of how much I was worth, what was my value, what should I ask for the time that I'm going to give now, or the talent that I'm going to put forth. But yet, then learning from you, it's another thing altogether, or and that we don't have to consider our value or our worth or how much work or how much we're doing. We only have to consider what we're wanting and allow that. Now, will you clarify that so that everyone or most will be comfortable with that?
What is your concern about the manipulation of the dollar?
Well, if a person's looking in terms of dollars, then you're worried or concerned about what someone else does with the dollars. Is there going to be inflation? Is there going to be deflation? Because it's typically a handful of people that control or manipulate the value of the paper that's called the dollar today. And so I'd like for everyone to be comfortable with just what you're teaching us, that we can have anything we want and not be concerned about what happens to the dollar.
You've hit upon something very essential here regarding the subject of dollars, because you are right. Many of you are recognizing that dollars today just aren't worth what they were at one time. And that is another position of lack that you very often firmly stand upon that keeps you from attracting the abundance that is yours. We would like you to understand that the dollar and its assigned value is really not as important to your experience as you are believing. And that if you could put your attention upon what you are wanting in terms of being, and then having, and then doing, that all of the dollars or other means for bringing about what you are wanting could then flow easily and much more effortlessly into your experience. We keep coming back to the same terminology, and that is, from your place of lack, you cannot attract its opposite. And so it really is a matter of adjusting your thinking so that your thinking harmonizes with that which feels good within you. Now, what every thought that you think vibrates. And it is by virtue of that vibrating thought that you attract. When you think a thought of lack, that thought is vibrating at a place that is so alien to that which your inner being knows to be, that your inner being cannot resonate with you at all, and the resultant feeling within you is one of negative emotion. When you think a thought of upliftment or abundance or well-being, those thoughts harmonize with that which your inner being knows to be. And under those conditions, you are filled with a feeling of positive emotion or energy. And so you may trust the way that you feel as the indicator as to which side of this subject that is really two subjects that you are upon. Whether it is the subject of dollars or lack of it, or health or lack of it, or relationship or lack of it, always when you feel good, you are in the place of attracting that which you are wanting.
I used to watch people having financial problems, and I used to worry about them. But then I watched as they would spiral down, down, down from whatever heights. They would finally come crashing down in bankruptcy, but then the next thing I knew, they had another new boat, and they'd have a new luxury car and another beautiful home. In other words, no one seemed to stay down. But why is it, Abraham, that they couldn't stop it way up higher? Why does it have to go all the way down for so many of them before they could start back up again?
The reason that they were continuing the spiral downward is because of their intention to lack. In other words, they were so worried about what they would lose. They were standing in their place of guardedness or defensiveness, very often in a place of blame or justifying or rationalizing. And every time you are justifying or rationalizing or blaming, you're on the wrong side of the equation. In other words, that focus upon lack, as they were so concerned about what would happen, all of the negative what-ifs that they were playing out, they were in a position where they were very powerfully attracting all of that. But once it had happened and they had lost everything, now they are not in a place of guardedness. Now it has happened. They have nothing more to lose, you see. And so in the moment that they release that feeling of guardedness, then by the natural laws of the universe, they are able to receive into their experience what they are wanting. You see, many of you, if you could see your experience as we do, from a sort of aerial view, you would see that you have, by virtue of your wanting or desire, aligned many wonderful things and drawn them very near to you. But they cannot get in. It is as if you have drawn them right outside your door, but your door is closed. And the way, or the reason that the door is closed is because of your concern, because of your worry, because of your resentfulness, because of your jealousy. Anything that you think that brings forth a negative feeling within mm-hmm. you is part of the reason that that door remains closed. And in the moment that you release all of that, then the door opens and what you want can come in. The word surrender is offered. In other words, if you could just relax and surrender into your well-being rather than resist what you do not want, things would go better for you. Someone said to us recently, "Abraham, I have heard the expression, let go and let God." And at one time that resonated well with me, but now I am listening to you talk about being deliberate creator, and somehow it seems to me that I am the one that should be making these decisions. I shouldn't just lay around and wait for God to do it in my experience. And we say, you are right. You are the decider. You have come forth to be creator of your experience. But there is tremendous value in, once you have identified that which you want, then to relax into the allowing of letting it be. Because you are very action-oriented beings, most of you really believe that you must do something. And because you are part of society which is more focused upon lack than upon what it wants, you find yourselves really believing, we have noticed it of almost all of you, you really believe that in order to get something that you want, that you must defeat what you don't want. That is why you have a war on poverty and a war on drugs and a war against AIDS, a war. You really believe that by struggling against what you don't want, you will have what you do want. And we say, it defies law. And so when you relax into well-being, when you make statements such as, I seek abundance, and I trust the laws of the universe, and I've identified these things that I want, and I'm going to relax and allow them into my experience, rather than I'm going to struggle against, more of it will be coming. Every time you feel negative emotion regarding the subject of dollars, you are pushing dollars away. It is simple as that. And so when you see others exceeding or excelling in dollars, mm-hmm. and you feel negative emotion about it, that is a signal to you that the thought that you are thinking about them is not allowing them into your experience. When you find yourself critical of the way or means that anyone has attracted dollars, you are pushing them away. But when you find yourself realizing that what others do with dollars or with the abundance of the earth has nothing to do with you, and you realize that your primary work is to think thoughts and speak words and do action that harmonizes with what feels good, then you will be in harmony not only about the subject of money, but you will be in harmony about every important subject in your physical experience.
My final question to you is, what bearing does talent or skill or ability have on bringing abundance or bringing dollars into our life?
Very little. Because those are all action aspects for the most part. And your action is responsible but for a minuscule part of what comes to you. By far and away, it is your thought and word, which is thought articulated, that is responsible.
So then would you say definitely that a person with no saleable skill or talent could have still have all the dollars they want in their life?
Absolutely. Unless he is acknowledging that he has no saleable skill or talent,
right,
and therefore is defeating his own desire by his negative expectation. It is not what you do that makes the difference, it is the way you feel. Now sometimes your doing alters the way you feel, but what is more important than anything and the attraction of anything is what you are feeling, because what you are feeling is absolutely an indicator of the balance of thought within you, and the balance of thought within you is what is responsible for your attraction.
But so how does a person in that particular condition get past the thought or belief that they must give a dollar's worth of something to get a dollar's worth of something?
The only way that we know that you would come to that understanding is by hearing our words, recognizing that there is value in the way you are feeling, and trying it the other way a little bit. In other words, most of you have been struggling very hard. You've been trying it your way all of the days of your life. And you are the one and the only one that can evaluate your effectiveness. In other words, only you know where you stand relative to where you are wanting to be. No one else has the ability to discern where you stand relative to where you are wanting to be. Nobody else can decide where you should be. Only you.
Those who I see that kind of believe or would like to have something like that come to them that they don't feel like they've, through their skill or talent, have earned, usually look at something like some giant lottery or a gambling kind of situation where by chance they'll get theirs as a result of someone else losing theirs.
If their expectation is in a place that will allow it, then that very well could be the way. But most are too smart for that. They know the odds of that. Their expectation for winning the lottery is not in a powerful place either, you see.
I know we only have a couple of more minutes at most on this recording. But can you help me just a little bit over that last hump for me? Is how does a person then get to where they can accept that it can come from some way that they can't picture it coming from?
We are having a very good laugh here as we are realizing that you're asking questions that need 10 hours of answering rather than 1 minute.
Yeah.
The key is look for reasons to feel good. Identify what you want and hold your thoughts in a place that feels good. When you're beating up on yourself and saying, I can't, your inner being does not agree. And when your inner being does not agree, you feel negative emotion. And when you feel negative emotion, you are in the place of attracting the lack of what you want. When you feel positive emotion, you are in the place of attracting what you are wanting. And so guide your thoughts, guide your words into a place that feels good, and then you will be in a place of attracting that which you are wanting. It is really as simple as that. We have enjoyed very much this interaction.
Thank you.
We are knowing that the universe is abundant, but we cannot help you know it. It is through your experience that you come to know it. We say to you, trust, and the only way that you can trust is by giving it a try.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the only way that you can really allow into your experience is by altering some of your thought, and some of your beliefs are very strong. We would say, focus more upon what you want. If you really, really, really want something, your thought of desire will outweigh your thought of negative expectation.
Good.
Do not let go of what you want. Keep wanting, and the avenues, the circumstances, and the events will unfold before you. You will say it is as if it is magical.
Right.
And we will say it is not by magic, it is by the power of the laws of the universe. Offer the thought, and as you offer the thought, you vibrate, and as you vibrate, you attract.
Mm-hmm.
There is great love here for you.
You bet.
We are complete.
Thank you.